I just heard your throat gurgle.
I should probably see a doctor.
I won't. I mean, know. I see them, like, sometimes they come into the bank and I'm like,
hi.
Hey, Dr.
Like,
Foster.
How's everything going? Like, with your acid and all that. And you're just like, it's fine.
Everything's fine. I'm Slim Shady.
God, I'm a bad improver. I'm Tamara.
And I'm Rel.
And this is the Reverse Fearful Friends podcast.
Boop, 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 boop.
That is not what I sound like.
No, it's not.
But slag. How dare you?
I love being called a slag.
Identity theft is not a joke, Tamara.
Oh, goodness gracious, Ariel.
I've been
How the heck are you?
Gross. You just sounded like my uncle. How the heck are you?
Did you just say you've been watching a lot of TV?
I've been watching a lot of TV. It's called escapism. You should try it.
I wish. How about
had a busy week?
Instead, you come help me because I am losing it.
I'm not sitting around doing nothing watching TV. Do you want to know all the things I got done Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. And then you can tell me all the things that you did, which were probably a lot harder than what I did.
Okay.
On Wednesday, I woke up. I did the laundry. I dropped Murphy off at the groomer. I cleaned my house. And I cleaned my house. I deep cleaned my house. I dusted every surface, including the ceiling fans. I swept. I mopped. I scrubbed the bathrooms. I cleaned the shower. I cleaned the disgusting insides of the toilets. I emptied all the bathroom garbages, which is like a really big deal for me. Did I already say I did laundry?
Mm-hmm.
I did not fold the laundry. I put it in the washer and then in the dryer and then it's in a basket in my room.
Okay.
I also washed the inside and outside of my windows, which I've been meaning to do for like a year.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It was really gross. I also dusted and cleaned around all the windowsills because they were just absolutely disgusting. And I played around in my garden a little bit.
I'm really proud of you.
I can't like sit still and like... It's my procrastination for like the things that I actually need to do, like work on the podcast, make a fucking doctor's appointment, you unhealthy slut. Like, what are you doing with your life? How about this? Build up your resume so you can quit your stupid fucking job that you hate.
Okay. Or keep doing that, but come do it at my house.
Tamara, it's enough to take care of my life. And I get one day to do it.
I am losing my mind. This has been the longest week of my life.
I can't believe. Moving. So, first of all, is Rich helping you?
Yes. Actually, like, I am in utter shock at how much he has been helping me and how
that's good.
That proactive. Makes me feel
better. Is he helping you paint and
yes,
stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Like,
I'm so proud of him for fucking stepping up. I really thought that you'd be doing all this on your own, to
and
be
like,
honest.
I haven't done a load of laundry in a week.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I don't know what your normal laundry duties are.
It's a lot. I did put laundry away once I finally figured out where we were going to put the dressers
shit.
And
we
stuff.
We forgot the dressers at the other house.
But, yeah, I came home today from work and there was another load of clean laundry folded on the dining room table. And I'm like,
oh, he actually folds it too. Yeah. I draw the line at like washing and drying it. We're just going to wear it. Why am I going to put it in the closet? We wear the same stuff every week, basically.
That's how I feel with my work clothes. My work clothes, just I throw them
on put them on top
a
of Lulu's
chair.
Crate.
Yeah.
That's my clothes space.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But you're almost done.
There's so much work to be done, and I have never, like, I literally feel like I got beaten up. Do you see these pants I'm wearing? There's paint all over them.
You've got scratches and bruises.
Seriously, it's ridiculous.
Someone once told me that their iron must be low.
Yeah, I have been taking my iron supplement because I've been a little concerned.
I have a liquid multivitamin. Would you like? Actually, you could probably have it. It's got that iron taste. And it fucking grosses me out. It makes, like, it's good if you mix it into a smoothie. But, like, I can't drink it on its own because it's like I'm drinking blood. And it's also the same, like, consistency as blood. But it's dark
green. You're really
green.
Selling it.
But, like, if you need iron, I can smell the iron in it.
I'll just stick to my thing.
I did not fart. That was the leather chair I'm sitting on. In case that gets picked up in the audio.
Okay. Anyway, I'm bruised and abused. Like, seriously, this is so bad.
Yeah, it looks like she's got cat scratches all over her legs.
Yeah. It looks like I got in a fight with, like, a cat on, like, steroids. Anyway, you should see my nipple because I pinched it in between two 2x4s and it's never going to look the same again.
Like, one nipple is just perfect and perky and then the other one's just flat and it sticks out 6 inches.
It's just, like, black and blue right now.
Hot. Hot. Take pictures.
Always to remember them.
Well, maybe we can come up with a day where I can come down and help you out. I will give you one day.
Okay.
And no heavy lifting.
Oh, I hurt my back so bad yesterday putting my bed together. Listen, I love my bed.
Gotta hire people to do this shit.
I know. I love my bed. It's beautiful, but there is no reason to have a fucking headboard that fucking big. It's unnecessary. Now that I had to move it and put it together and all of that.
It's really cute, though.
It's a beautiful mattress. Headboard,
bed. I don't care about your mattress.
But, yeah, that's unnecessary, Tamara. There's no reason for it.
It's very cute. I gave up on headboards once I started having sex a lot.
Oh, this bed is sturdy. I mean, not right now because I've only, like, really put it together, like, 80%.
Also, I wish I hadn't said that. Can I just retract that statement? Sorry. Go on.
No, you can't retract it.
Can we just, everyone out there listening, pretend you didn't hear that?
Anyway.
So, sturdy mattress. Sturdy bed frame.
I have a sturdy bed.
Sturdy everything. That's good because you paid a lot of money for it.
I love it.
I'd be mad if it was not sturdy. Like all the other headboards I bought.
The amount of furniture that I have, like, I have a giant dining room table. It was so fucking heavy. It was ridiculous.
But it's also really pretty.
It is. My new couch that I got has, like, the fold-out bed. It is so fucking heavy.
Those are always really heavy. I'm actually surprised you got that. I'm always scared. Like, I feel like if we got one, like, Matt wants to get one for, like, this room in case we have company. But I'm like, I would always be scared of spiders, like, unfolding that bed. Or, like, all the crumbs and farts that get into the couch will just go into the mattress, and that's what you're sleeping on. You're sleeping on everyone else's butts.
Thankfully, like, the way it folds, it kind of, like, is where, like, the crumbs aren't going to fall, like, into the mattress because it would be, like, up.
Ugh.
But anyway, so that's furniture podcast.
Furniture talk.
Yeah.
Moving talk. Send help.
If anyone wants to paint baseboards.
You haven't done that yet?
I'll give you. No, because there's so many other things I need to do, like moving everything out of my old house.
You have to finish painting before you move in.
No, listen. Everyone says that. Nope. Yeah, I'm never doing that again. Because you know what I did? Scratched up every fucking corner trying to move all my fucking furniture and have to go reback.
Well, you have to be careful.
I was so careful. But I have a giant 6-foot-tall king-size fucking headboard.
Could you have taken it apart before you moved
I in? I did take it apart.
Oh, okay.
That was the taken apart thing. It was bigger than me. Stupid. Anyway.
You're pretty short, though.
I know. And, like, you know how, like, under a bed it has, like, those wooden planks, all the 2x4s? There was 15 of them, and I had to pick them all up, and that's what pinched my nipple, okay? It was horrible. They're all attached by, like, this, like, fabric. It's ridiculous.
Was it, like, so heavy that you couldn't get your nipple out of there?
No, I just, like, bent over.
Sorry. R.I.P. for her nipple. Yeah. Well, what a fun week.
I never want to move again.
Well, you probably have to. It's probably in a year.
I'm not moving in a year. It's not happening.
Oh, Tamara. No, but you're gonna be stuck there. They're gonna keep raising the rent.
But also, I like really like my house. It doesn't feel like home yet. It feels like I'm like staying in an Airbnb, you know. But I still really like it. Like, it's just bigger, and there's like a patio that's screened in that has ceiling
fans. Do you
actually
go on
my patio? Yeah. And
by yourself?
Yeah.
I can't
imagine. Only one chair out there right now.
I was going to say, I can't imagine Rich hanging out outside with you. He's not an outside person.
No, but usually when he wakes up, if he doesn't have to go right to work, he'll go sit outside.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it would be very triggering.
Well,
because he doesn't smoke anymore. Like, that's like our thing when we used to smoke.
Right. No, he just...
I can't sit outside. Like, unless I'm, like, fucking poking a fire with a giant piece of wood that you saw outside my front door, then I will be picking up smoking again.
No, he just needs his vitamin D.
That's a very shaded patio.
It is now, yep. Our other patio wasn't.
You're not getting any vitamin D.
No. Anyway.
How's your week at work been?
It's fine. Boring.
Wow. You sound just like me.
I mean, we had a power surge, like, first thing in the morning.
Oh, how exciting.
It was not exciting. People are so mean.
Like, customers were mean about it?
It was fucking raining out, and something happened.
It wasn't even thunder or anything.
No, but something happened, and it knocked down my TCR machine that has all my money, and it knocked down my computer and another one, and then all of our internet went out. And, like, some people were fine and laughing and joking about it, and other people were like, well, I need to make my mortgage payment. I'm like, okay.
You can do it online, you slag. Oh, I'm going to call everyone a slag today.
Or, like,
slag, slag, do you slag.
Do you think this is it? Like, nope, done forever. Can never make it. We're never going to take...
The end of days. Your house is going to get foreclosed on. Whoop, whoop.
I'm eating, so...
She's eating a Twix. She came over and she's just like, I have to go get chocolate right now.
Nice, a candy. I have to get candy.
She did get a plethora of candy. She got some sours, some chocolates.
I got Airheads.
She got ropes, too?
Airheads, ropes. Ugh. And Nerd Gummy.
That entire bag clusters. Would give me... so much heartburn. I would be burping for 4 days.
The chocolate's for right now. The candy is for the ride home. I need to
stay awake.
Chew on something, yeah.
Ooh.
Well.
You gearing up for our Super Bowl?
What?
Easter. It's right around the corner. Which means...
discount candy?
I do love discount candy. I just meant that, like, season's gonna be over.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? It's, like, over after Easter.
Crotchety. Ding dongs out of my face.
So I know we here on the Fearful Friends podcast show like to hate on old people a lot, but God, why y'all gotta be so terrible? Like, what fucking generation did you grow up in where you go into a grocery store and you treat it like it's just like fucking finger food germ fest? Like, we've got, like, this old bitch coming in today and, like, opening up all the bulk bins, and she has a dog strapped to her chest, and she's, like, leaning over all the bins, smelling it, and the dog's, like, this close, an inch away from, like, eating shit out of the bulk barrel. His, like, nose jizz could have fell into the bin. So there's that, number one. Stop fucking bringing your dogs into a grocery store. Seriously. I don't bring my dogs in. It's fucking gross. Lulu eats shit. Do you want her to lick a stand that has your produce on it? Do you want her ass to be in a cart? No. Cut it the fuck out. I don't care if it's a service animal. Your fucking service animal in the baby side of your grocery cart isn't fucking doing you any good. Besides pissing on the floor. Like, that's my first quarrel. And then it's like, they just like have no concept of like the things that go into making everything look nice.
Right.
Like, I'm getting ready to leave today and I'm like, put my purse on my shoulder and I'm just like, oh, let me go like take a look really quick and like make sure that everything's faced and pretty. Like, I just did it like an hour ago, but I like to just once over, make sure it's good. And I see this man. And he's just like hunched over in my cottage cheese door and he sticks his arm into the back of my fucking cooler and literally just swipes and he's just moving everything side to side, just like jumbling everything up. And then he pulls one thing out of the far back, looks at the date and goes, huh, and puts it in his cart. And then he just fucking starts to walk away. So I made a point of walking right in front of him, getting into the door and fixing everything. And he goes, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I was just looking for what I needed. What? Who looks for things like that? Who treats things like that? I would hate to see what your fucking closet looks like. What the fuck? It's just been like all fucking day today. And then just like, oh, I know, I like bitch about the same fucking thing every week, and that's why every week when you ask me how everything's going, I'm just like, eh, it's fine, because nobody wants to hear me complain about people being filthy beasts at the grocery store, because we see it all the time. But I'm just fucking like over it. I'm this fucking close to just going off. Yeah. I literally had to stand there and lie to this man and go, it's fine that you made a mess. I don't mind cleaning it up because my boss was standing right behind me. If she wasn't standing right behind me, I would ask him, do you treat things in your home this way? Like, well, you're fucking like 75. Why do I, a 30-year-old, have to coach you on how to behave in public? I'm getting heated.
I know. I'm looking at you and I can't tell if you're tan or like just red.
I'm just getting red. I'm like, I'm just so over it. I'm so mad. I just want them to fucking leave.
I think it's the lead poisoning.
I agree. That's why there were so many serial killers back in their day. That's why they're all so fucking stupid.
I know.
I'm heated. I'm hot.
I know. It's frustrating. And it's like,
and then like the fucking cherry on top. Like, I'm just like, I'm leaving for real this time. I'm not doing anything else. I've literally, like, today is like our little, you know, we get a little extra discount today. So I'm doing some extra shopping. Got a shopping cart full of stuff, purse over my shoulder, drink in my hand, AirPods in so no one can bother me. And I still have two different customers stop me and go, oh, do you work here? Ma'am, do you work here? Bitch, I'm fucking off the clock.
I know.
Leave me alone. There's like 37 people in here walking around on their cell phones doing nothing. Go put them to work.
Ugh. I know.
I'm all high-pitched.
It's like they just have no concept of fucking reality. Like, they've never worked. Too. Do you never work?
I don't think these people have ever worked a day in fucking retail or anything in the service industry or anything. They have no fucking concept of like how much it takes out of your fucking soul to deal with these people every single day.
Yeah. What gets me is like people will come in and complain, you're the only one here. It's noon. Where do you think my other help is?
And
at fucking lunch.
You don't want to know where all of our other customers are at? Work. Why are you here?
Yeah.
Cracking open a beer. It's been a very long week. So, Tamara.
Yes.
Gonna calm down.
Okay.
That's why I watch a lot of TV.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I am circling back. It's called escapism. I do not wish to live on this plane anymore. I want to live in my movies and TV shows. I want to live with Barney and Ted and Robin. I want to go to McLaren's.
I just burped in the mic and I'm so sorry.
I couldn't hear anything at all. Everybody's ears are probably still ringing from me screaming.
That my escapism is TikTok, and I haven't had time to shut my brain off.
Time to scroll.
But listen, honestly, there's like this thing going on with the royals. We finally figured out what it was, I think, today.
The royals?
The royal family.
Who cares?
Listen, nobody has seen Kate. No one knows what's going on.
Yeah, she just came out and said she has cancer.
Yeah.
Why do I care?
Because it was like a mystery. Like, they're going to make this announcement.
She doesn't rule our government.
No.
Why do we care?
Anyway, so it's all over TikTok.
About these people who contribute nothing.
Yes, it's like, what's going on? It's a mystery. And then I think they're only covering up the damn.
I think we're both going to have a panic attack at the same time. Listeners, this will be a first.
Listen, no, there's a stingray, okay?
What?
There's a stingray.
The animal.
Named Charlotte, okay?
What does this have to do with the princess? So,
the princess is covering up Charlotte's mystery. I'm telling you, because Charlotte came out first. And they were like, there's this stingray that's been captive in this aquarium with no other male stingray. Okay? Guess what? It's pregnant.
What does this have to do with the royals?
Nothing, but because it was like all over TikTok and everyone's like, they need to know, like, where, how is a stingray pregnant?
Who cares about that stingray?
stingray.
There was no male stingray in the tank, okay? There was only male
Maybe
sharks.
Maybe it's just an ovarian cyst or something. Do they have
ovaries? No, they took a sonogram and they can see them moving around in there. Anyway.
She got raped.
Yeah, so is it like
by the shark? Prince William.
Thank you. Prince William was cheating. That was one of the... Okay. But anyway, Charlotte, so everyone was like, Charlotte's, it's any day now, any day now. And then like weeks and weeks are passing and it's like any day now. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, let's pay attention to the royals. No. Okay. Anyway, so we figured all that out. Now we're back to Charlotte. I need to know what kind of baby she's having. Is it a shark ray? A sting shark? Or did she just like self... impregnate herself somehow, which is like crazy rare.
Okay, first of all, many questions need to be asked about this stingray. I won't ask a single question about the royal family because I don't give a fuck. But now I'm curious about the stingray. When did it go into captivity?
It's been there for years. Like years and years.
And no male. Do we think a scuba diver might have snuck in there with a syringe of stingray semen and impregnated it?
I mean,
we are unhinged today.
I haven't heard that theory floating around. Well, I think you're the only one.
I personally, oh my god, floating around. I personally, stingrays, I don't think are asexual. I don't think they're asexual.
Right. It's like this crazy one in a million rare thing that had to happen.
Or
the two male sharks that are in there.
Sharks don't
somehow.
Fuck stingrays.
I know.
I think.
But.
We should interview marine biologist.
They're not supposed to, but they found bite marks on Charlotte. And when sharks.
A human?
When shark. No, shark kidding. Bite.
It was the scuba diver, and he likes it rough.
Anyway, when sharks mate, they do bite onto each other. So they think that that's what happened. So everyone wants to know, are these shark rays? Is she having shark rays?
It could be a new species.
Yeah.
Nicole? Okay. Two things really quick.
Yeah.
I know that when I say the first thing, I'm going to forget the second thing. I just know it.
Okay.
First thing.
Did you forget the first thing?
When sharks... I always, this is going to make me sound really stupid. I don't know how fish sex each other. I always thought you just kind of like came in the water and they swam through it. That was my first thing.
Some fish lay eggs.
Second thing.
Some fish have the eggs inside them.
Right. Well, yeah, they, but then how? They got to swim through the cums. Any scientists out there?
Any marine biologists want to make fun of us?
Anybody with their phones handy who could Google this?
Shout it out. Let me hear. Makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Sharknado.
Yep. That's what happened.
Shark cum in the air.
Are we okay?
I don't know. I think it's just been a really, really long couple of weeks.
Yeah. I also was really, really sick. Like, you know how I had that cold?
Yes, okay. I was editing the episode that you had the cold, and I was like, ugh.
It just kept going on and on and on, and finally I went to the doctor, and I had a really bad sinus infection. My ears were all clogged, and they were like, well, it's a bacterial infection. They put me on antibiotics is the word I'm looking for. And now I just keep forgetting to take my antibiotics.
Tamara,
I'm really bad
Tamara,
about that.
That's really bad.
I know.
Take them all the way.
I know.
Consistently.
Are you ready for my distraction?
Oh, God. Am I ever.
Okay. So, I had this great idea in mind, and I got like halfway through writing it.
And then she fell asleep. And then she found a really good TV show.
Fell asleep a lot. Well, all those, yeah. I mean, like, I was just watching, like, what was I watching? Oh, Life and Beth. Anyway. But I realized I just wasn't doing it the justice it deserved. So I had to stop, rewind, and pick a new topic.
Let's go back.
Back to the beginning.
Please don't sue us.
Okay. So I had to do this project for my daughter. So I kind of took it off that.
Are you giving me a school project from your child?
Nope.
Is this a Barbie biography?
That is a really, really good idea.
No, it is not. That is not the right thing for this platform.
Listen, I think it's interesting. You can distract me with that. No.
We are the Fearful Friends podcast, not the Teddy Bear Friends podcast. Okay? Get it right. I want scary. I want intrigue. I want other unspeakable actions.
Okay, well, today you're not getting any of that. You're getting a biography, but it's a biography. Edison? Yeah. What if it was? That would be so scary.
She just reads the fucking book.
No,
I have. Born in 1897. I don't know when he was born. Please don't yell at me.
This lady was born close to that, though.
1897?
Very close. No, she's a badass, independent woman. That's what I'm giving you today.
Amelia Earhart.
You're not going to guess it.
Oh.
It's Juliette Gordon Lowe.
That was going to be my next guess.
Yeah? So, who is she?
A famous cook?
No. That's Julia Child.
Or something. Did she invent Lowe's?
No. She invented Daisies.
The flower?
Nope. She is the founder of the Girl Scouts.
God damn it, Tamara!
Listen. Listen, Ariel. I did a little thing for the Girl Scouts. I'm a Girl Scout leader. And I was reading this. I was like, God, this is really freaking interesting.
Okay.
So.
I'm here. I do believe that you're about to initiate me into a cult. I am fearful. So all of the criteria has been met.
Good.
For this story.
Good.
Whisk me away, then take all my money for cookies.
So I was a Girl Scout. My mom and my grandma, all Girl Scouts, which makes my daughter a fourth generation Girl Scout.
What are you now, though?
A Girl Scout leader.
No, you're a woman scout.
I am a Girl Scout. I'm a lifelong Girl Scout. So it was really important for me to get Emmy involved in Girl Scouts because of the morals that they teach girls, like making the world a better place, respecting yourself and others.
Self-sufficient.
Yes. And instilling this leader mindset in the girls so that they know that they can go on and be a leader in their own lives, you know? Empowering them really is what my goal is anyway, and what I see the Girl Scouts as. So, you know, obviously it's a crazy fucked up world to bring kids into, so.
Preach!
Anything that I can do to
facilitate her.
Yeah, empower her and just, you know, raise a smart, mindful kid.
All about it.
Is why I'm so... I was so proactive in getting her into Girl Scouts to where I had to become a Girl Scout leader in order to do it.
Does it hurt your feelings when I talk about the Girl Scouts derogatively?
No, because I know sometimes you just had a bad experience and that's okay.
I was just poor.
Okay, well.
I couldn't afford the Girl Scouts.
I'm sorry. You can be part of my troop now.
I'm good.
Anyway, we are going to travel way, way back. I'm only going to burp 1,000 more times into the microphone. Fine.
Do you want me to keep making my time travel noises? Because I can switch it up with some Doctor Who tracks.
Sure, go ahead. So I realize I don't know much about Doctor Who, so...
It's the TARDIS.
Stop it.
Wee! Wee!
So.
I hate myself.
This is from a biography.com article, and there's no author to cite, or I would have cited them.
It's biography.com.
Yeah. It's just like editors of biography.com.
Thank you, biography.com. Yes. I've also used them many times in my stories.
So, Lowe was born Juliette Magle Kinsey Gordon on October 31st, 1860.
Oh my God, a Halloween bitch.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Savannah,
to be born on Halloween.
I know. In Savannah, Georgia, to the father William Washington Gordon and her mother Eleanor Little Kinsey. The second of six children, Lo was named for her maternal grandmother, but was quickly dubbed Daisy, a common nickname at the time. Lo's parents described her as a beautiful baby with a sweet disposition.
Have you ever heard anybody describe babies as anything other than that, though? That baby was a bitch.
Listen, have you ever seen a baby with colic? Because, like, that is not a sweet disposition.
Yeah, but they'll just be like, he cried a lot for the mother, but all in all, it was a beautiful child.
Yeah, everyone describes babies like that.
But, like, nobody's being interviewed, and they're just like, yeah, that baby was a total cunt.
That's an ugly baby.
Oh, sorry to interrupt again. Carry on. Sweet disposition.
She was born shortly before the Civil War began, so her childhood was complicated by the war efforts and her parents' conflicting views on slavery.
Her parents had conflicting views on slavery?
Yep.
One was pro, one was against?
Yes.
That's a way to break a marriage. No.
Her father, the Georgia-born owner of the enslaved person-populated Belmont cotton plantation.
He was four.
Yeah. Believed in the secession of the South from the Union. On the other hand, her northern-born mother, whose family had helped found the city of Chicago, believed in abolition.
Is that a word?
Jeez, I wonder. Yeah, abolishing slavery.
It just sounds weird.
I wonder who was right. It's crazy.
Tamara, that's very controversial. People are still fighting the war down here.
Oh my God. While Lo's father was joining the war efforts on behalf of the South, her maternal relatives were enlisting in Northern militias. Lo's mother struggled with the conflicting feelings of having loved ones on both sides of the war, as well as harsh treatment from neighbors who didn't understand the family's divided allegiances. As the war dragged on, Lo's mother grew increasingly despondent about her husband's absence and her ability to provide for the family. By the time that Lo was four, the South had lost the war, and the little girl, malnourished and sickly, still had yet to see her father for more than a few days at a time.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like a great role model.
Feel like you're not missing much.
Yeah.
He's just gonna, like, kind of poison your whole life. Yeah.
In the closing days of the Civil War, the Gordons? Yeah, the Gordons, under the protection of General William Sherman, moved to Illinois to stay with Eleanor's parents. So she was exposed to an entirely different way of life. Her grandfather was the founder of the Chicago Board of Trade, the Chicago, I can't pronounce that word, Athenaeum, and the city's public schools. He also was a savvy investor who earned his wealth through the railroads, copper mines, and his presidency of the Second State Bank of Chicago. As a result of her maternal grandparents' influence in the community, Daisy encountered a variety of new people, including many Native Americans who sought business and investment advice from her grandfather. Her interactions with Native Americans gave her an early appreciation of Native American culture, which she would idealize for the rest of her life. Idolize. It's like these words are new to me. It's like,
I thought abolition was a fake word. I still do. Abolish. That doesn't sound. Abolition. Abolish. Abolition? What?
We're just saying it wrong. The family.
Like Chinese food.
The family soon reunited in Savannah, and thanks to her mother's effort to recoup their financial losses in the South, Daisy's father was able to revitalize the Belmont plantation. Oh. Great.
Yeah.
Daisy's empathy for others and unconventional outlook on life became more apparent as she grew older. Her siblings often commented on her inability to keep track of time, her frequent experiments that went awry, and acts of kindness that resulted in good-natured disasters.
Do you have any examples of these experiments that went awry? I have to know. I'm very curious.
No.
I want to know! What does that mean? Is it like mud pies that she was like, this is going to be delicious?
Yeah.
Or was she actually tinkering with chemicals and was like, I'm going to mix this nitrogen-based fertilizer with other components that may or may not produce a pipe bomb?
Okay.
No? You don't know.
That was cute. I don't know.
You're Thank right. you. I did used to be a child. It's down there somewhere.
Aww.
My black slimy heart.
Her antics earned her the new nickname Crazy Daisy, giving her a reputation for eccentricity that would stick with her through adulthood. Her adventurous and eccentric nature resulted in a restlessness of spirit when she entered a series of boarding schools, including the Virginia Female Institute, Edge Hill School, Miss Emmett's School, and Mademoiselle Charbonnier's. It's French. I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You did great.
Because, you know.
Very scary, though.
Women didn't go to college. You went to female.
Four different female boarding schools.
Institutes. Jeez, crannies.
They all sound very, like, scary and strict.
Yeah.
Like those,
like you're gonna get hit.
Like those residential schools up north where they keep finding children's bodies.
Lord in heaven, yeah. While she was taught the typical social graces of a high-born lady in school, excelling in drawing, piano, and speech, she yearned instead to explore, hike, play tennis, and ride horses.
Fuck yeah, dude, because being inside setting tables is boring.
Right? All activities discouraged by her restrictive finishing schools. Defiant in nature, Lo was frequently caught breaking the rules.
Was she bringing little woolly bears inside to play with?
I don't know. But I told the girls that rules are made to be broken.
Did you?
I said some rules
are made to be broken. I was going to say, can you please put an asterisk after that? Like, rules are meant to be broken unless you're, you know, 13 going out with a 30-year-old or, you know, like a lot of different scenarios.
Some rules are made to be broken.
But clear those rules by your mom before you break them.
Right.
How about that?
One of the
That'll
girls
be the
like,
asterisk.
Well, one of the girls was, I was like asking them for example. She's like, well, you know, when you ask your mom to get your nose pierced and then she says no. And I'm like,
How old? This girl is Emily's age? Yeah,
7.
And she wants her nose pierced?
Yeah.
I didn't even know what a piercing was at that age. I think I'm... So I was in second grade.
They're in first grade, so...
Wait, kindergarten I was 5. First grade I was 6. So yeah, I was in second grade.
Well, you turned 7 in first grade.
No, I was young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I graduated
you're October.
When I was like 16 or 17.
You're on October. You're right.
Okay. So is she.
She was. You're right. By the age of 19, Daisy was torn between being a dutiful daughter and pursuing her dreams of being an independent woman. After a scuffle with her mother over finances, Daisy was able to convince the family that she should move to New York to study painting, one of the few pastimes considered appropriate for women of her era. Daisy believed she might be able to turn her painting into a means of financial support and self-sufficiency.
I was going to say, they make it sound like it's a hobby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's doing all this just for a hobby? Bitch better get paid.
She was also expected to marry, which she did at the age of 26.
Oh, thank God she was like a normal age.
Right, yeah.
I was worried you were about to say, which she 15. Did at 15. Yeah.
Her union to wealthy cotton merchant William Mackey Lowe, who she considered her one true love, took place on December 21st, 1886. During their ceremony, a grain of rice thrown by a well-wisher became lodged in Lowe's ear.
Oh my God! Why did you tell me that? I knew you were going to say it.
Really?
When you said a single grain, I was like, oh my God. I thought you were going to say it got in her eye and like lives under there to this day. But that's even worse. It's just, did she get it out? You know what happens when rice gets wet?
It blows up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In her eardrum.
The pain of the impacted rice became so great that the couple was forced to return home to have it removed. As a result, Lo's hearing was permanently damaged and resulted in frequent ear infections and eventual deafness in both ears. So she was deaf.
And listeners, that's the real reason why you don't throw rice at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Did you do anything like that? I did sparklers.
I don't remember.
I don't think I was even...
I remember I wasn't, like, drunk or anything, but that night was a fucking blur. I just remember there was a crazy storm.
It was so cool.
I remember, like, being there after the wedding, like, trying to clean everything up, and everyone was yelling at me, like, go! Go! Like, Matt's waiting for you! Go! Yeah. And I'm like, oh, but we have to put the dishes away! But yeah, your sparklers thing was fucking gorgeous. I remember getting those sparklers.
And I remember...
I actually bought them up here.
Really?
Yeah, at that I remember fireworks stand on US-1.
Taking off my wedding dress and, like, changing and walking out with it in my arms in, like, sweats. I remember seeing
you with your little slippers on.
Yeah. So I have a picture of that. It's, like, my favorite.
I also have that picture. It's adorable.
Because of her husband's wealth, the Lowes traveled often and socialized with the educated and moneyed. That's me.
Moneyed.
They purchased the Wellsbourne House in Warwickshire, England, and spent their autumns hunting in Scotland and winters seeing family in the United States.
Barf. Stay in Scotland.
William eventually began spending more time apart from his wife, gambling, partying, hunting, and splurging on extravagant toys. What do you think extravagant toys are in, like, 1890-somethings?
Did they have motorcycles back then?
I'm assuming they have.
When was the car invented?
Like a Model T? Let's see. We can Google. We have the technology.
We have the technology. We just don't want to because we're in the middle of a story.
When was the
toys? Car? Maybe he got like a new butter churner.
1886. Carl Benz applied for a patent for his vehicle powered by a gas engine. And is that like a Mercedes Benz? Carl Benz? 1886, which is the year they got married, I think.
So it could be a car.
So Daisy was also gone on frequent trips searching for cures for her hearing loss. She also
Struggered?
Man, Tamara.
Was she fully deaf?
That's what I said.
So do they have, back then, have they learned like sign language or anything?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just, I mean, like, wondering, like, how'd she communicate with her husband?
I think they did have sign language.
Write on a piece of paper?
Yeah.
He just shouts into her ear all the time. I'm ready for breakfast!
And she's like, motherfucker, I'm deaf. It doesn't help when you're louder. She also struggled with ovarian abscesses, a primary reason why they never had children.
That shit hurts.
By September 1901, Daisy was aware that her husband had taken on a mistress, an actress named Anna Bateman. As a result, William requested a divorce. Yep. At the time.
1880-something?
1901. A shocking decree.
That is shocking. I am shocked.
Mm-hmm. But Daisy had to prove desertion, which I mean
like infidelity.
Like she was deserted by him.
Oh.
So desertion, adultery, and cruelty, all of which would require besmirching her name as well as those of her husband and Bateman.
Who fucking cares about her husband? He cheated on her. And why would him cheating on her besmirch her name? I mean, I guess it's like, I mean, he like likes another woman over me.
Yeah.
But
who knows?
He's a piece of shit. She's deaf. Like, what the fuck?
During this time, William also began drinking heavily, and his social circle worried about his mental and physical stability. They all but deserted him as well. Oh. Daisy's friends and family rose to support her, hosting her at their houses so she would have socially acceptable reasons to be away from home. Before the divorce proceedings could be finalized, however, William died of a seizure.
During
a trip with his mistress. Daisy subsequently discovered that her husband had amended his will, leaving the bulk of his fortune to Bateman, his mistress.
What a fucking
And don't
bitch.
Worry, I didn't read this part to the girls.
You read this to them?
No.
I mean, like, you read the biography to them?
No, did not.
You just leave out the part where she had a shitty husband. Right. You could just, like, amend that and just say...
I didn't even talk about her husband.
She rose above adversity.
She was deaf, and she started the Girl Scouts. That's it.
And she was so strong when her husband was not.
That's for sure. As all women are. Daisy was forced to contest the will, eventually negotiating a settlement that provided her with an annual income and the Savannah Lafayette Ward estate. After the loss of her husband and much of her financial stability, Daisy...
They say loss. I consider it a gain.
Yeah.
Like, bye.
A loss of a burden.
Yeah. Loss of a time suck, money suck, emotion suck.
Daisy began traveling the world, sailing to France, Italy, Egypt, and India.
Yes! I want to go to Egypt.
In 1911, Daisy had a chance meeting with British General Robert Baden-Powell, a war hero and founder of the Boy Scouts. Originally,
the Boy Scouts were around before the Girl Scouts? Mm-hmm. So she copied.
Oh, yeah. Originally Tamara. Determined not to like Powell, she believed he had received...
She's just kind of burnt on men right now.
Uh-huh. She believed he had received a large credit for the success of the Second Boer War, which he wasn't supposed to get. I don't know. She thought that he didn't deserve the credit that he had gotten. So she was determined not to like him.
Oh my God, did they fall in love?
But she was instead charmed by his his manner. Would. I don't think they fell in love. Oh, no.
Wouldn't that be crazy if they got married and he's like, "You should. I got the Boy Scouts. You get the Girl Scouts.
Family we business. Should buy a bar."
And the name will be Puzzles.
Baden-Powell had founded the Boy Scouts with the intention of training young boys for defense and preparedness in case of military invasion. Baden-Powell emphasized that the training should be fun, an idea that Daisy deeply appreciated. The two shared a love of art and travel, as well as similar family backgrounds. They became instant friends and started fucking.
I'm just kidding. I was like, wow, what was that wording from biography.com? They started smashing.
And they started sharing ideas for the formation of a scouting troop for girls. So.
I feel like they were meant to be.
Yeah.
They both enjoyed the same things. They liked to have fun. You know? Back when everything was just so boring and drab.
I love your voices.
That's what I'm picturing everyone sounded like. I mean, like, you know, like in the 50s, everyone was just like, well, the war's on the rise. Like, everybody, every era has its sound. Yes. Do you know what the 2020s are?
It's like this. Such a vibe.
It's so great. It's like Coachella or something. I don't know. I don't even know if Coachella's a thing anymore.
My cheeks hurt.
Oh, that's good. That means you're laughing or something.
Something.
Or just really just angry.
The early troops, known as Girl Guides, were led by Baden-Powell's 51-year-old sister, Agnes. These were girls who had appeared in their brother's Boy Scout troops, dressed in piecemeal uniforms and eager to learn the same skills the boys were learning. Agnes was overwhelmed by the increasing number of girls showing an interest in becoming a Girl Guide. And both the Baden-Powells and Daisy agreed that these girls should have their own groups. Daisy started several troops in Scotland and London for girls of varying income brackets. The effect on the girls' self-esteem was so striking that Daisy decided she had to take the program to the United States, starting with her hometown of Savannah.
Georgia!
On March 12, 1912, Lowe registered the first troop of American Girl Guides. The first of the 18 girls to register was Margaret Daisy Dutes Gordon, her niece and namesake, renamed the Girl Scouts in 1913. Daisy used her own money and resources of friends and family to push the organization to new heights. While membership has dropped from a peak of 3.8 million in 2003 to approximately 2.6 million.
Well, it's not, I mean, it's a big drop, but it's not like down to like 500,000.
Right. Julia Gordon Lowe's Girl Scouts of the United States endures as one of the most important educational organizations for girls in the world. Prominent alumni include You're going to hate this. Taylor Swift, Mariah Carey, Katy Couric, and Gwyneth Paltrow, and so many others. Like, that's a stupid list. I'm going to give you a better list. Okay, so Hillary Clinton, Queen Elizabeth II, Sally Ride, Venus Williams, Abigail Breslin, Dakota Fanning, Vanessa Hudgens, Debbie Most Reynolds, Carrie Fisher, who was her daughter, right?
Yep.
Gwyneth Paltrow, Queen Latifah, Mary Tyler Moore, Linda Carter, Lucille Ball, Grace Kelly, Bette Davis, Susan Lucci, Kathleen Turner, Michelle Obama. I'm going to stop there, but like,
thank you.
That was a pathetic list, so we had to add to it. Following years of ill health, Lo discovered she had breast cancer in 1923.
Oh.
She kept the diagnosis a secret, instead continuing to work towards making the Girl Scouts into an internationally renowned organization. Lo died from the final stages of cancer on January 17, 1927, and was buried in her Girl Scout uniform in Laurel Aww. Grove Cemetery in Savannah. Her friends honored her efforts by establishing the Juliet Lo World Friendship Fund to finance international projects for Girl Scouts and Girl Guides. Lo has received an array of posthumous awards for her honor in creating the Girl Scouts, including the issuing of a commemorative postage stamp in 1948 and induction into the National Women's Hall of Fame in 1979.
There's a Women's Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Right yeah. on.
No one talks about it.
Nobody ever talks about it. All I know of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
In 2012, President Barack Obama, my boyfriend, named her a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Hells yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. So that's my story about a badass woman. Yep. She was strong and she believed in the future of girls and...
Women,
yeah. But I mean, when they're girls,
yeah,
she believed in teaching them right so that they grew up and became
not
leaders in
the
world.
Pieces of shit, man.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Which is how we all need to be.
Yeah. Let's look at a picture of her.
Okay, first of all, she looks like my grandma. I just like the jawline like... and everything. She looks just like my grandma on my dad's side.
I think she looks like.
That is a especially
Willy,
for like
Willy Wonka.
The day and age, that is a
handsome woman.
That is a costume choice.
Well, it has the Girl Scout
the clover
trefoil.
Thing.
Trefoil. Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm. The little green.
Oh, so maybe she was just like in her business attire. Maybe she didn't dress like that all the time. Maybe in her free time she liked to wear just like titties out and just a pair of panties. Ugh. Sorry. I really hate that word. B, I just thought of my grandma in a pair of panties.
Your grandma wore panties. Sorry.
My grandma wore some granny panties, probably.
Well, my grandchildren are never going to be able to say that about me.
No, or nor me.
Anyway, you can visit her birthplace. It's now a historic...
I would love to visit her grave.
You think you can also do it? They're both in Savannah,
Georgia.
I want
to go to her birthplace. She's not there.
You can like tour it now. It's a historic landmark. The house is still there where she was born, which is cool. A lot of Girl Scouts do go.
Savannah, Georgia would be fun. If you take your Girl Scouts on a trip, I guess I'll go.
Yeah, you have to learn CPR.
I'll be a chaperone. I could do that. Just like pound on some kid's chest.
Yeah, just knock
Stop
him around.
Stop choking! That's actually the Heimlich. So I guess I need to know CPR because yeah. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That's the one where it's like, stay alive.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Anyway, you want to go camping?
I would fucking love to. Tamara, do you still have that tent?
No. I sold it for $10 at a yard
I hate
yard
you.
Sale. I should have gave it to you.
What? I know you should have. I love camping. You had like an 8-person tent.
I know, that thing was huge.
It was great. I had different rooms.
Okay, I have to stop burping. Okay?
Never.
Oh my gosh. Listen, at that place where we go camping, they now have glamping tents.
Ugh.
I thought that would be really cool to do with the girls once they get older.
I can't just, like, go.
I know.
For us.
I know.
Maybe but also, could write like, it off as a, we're just checking it out for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah. These beers are
well, I'll a write-off. Bring the beer. You write off the glamping.
It has to be cold. So we've passed this season.
If it's glamping, then you don't need it to be cold because there's air conditioning in the tent.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Actually, now it'd be perfect because it hasn't started raining every single day yet.
All right, folks. Well, we are off to plan a camping trip.
Am I boring you? No, sorry.
No. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell someone about our podcast. Download it on your mom's phone.
Ew.
She doesn't have to listen. Just like sneak on there and like set it up.
She accidentally does listen. She hears me call her baby a cunt.
Okay.
Don't do that to your mom.
Do that. That's hilarious. Anyway. send your crazy stories to
fearfulfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Bye, friends.
Bye.